Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Tellius Tyler?
I am deeply disturbed. Right before we started the recording, Triforce Todd said that Will Ferrell movies are not good.
Yeah,
and
I said that.
He has not seen Semi-Pro, nor has he seen Step Brothers, two of the greatest films of our generation.
Not even close.
I'm stunned and embarrassed, frankly.
You should be embarrassed that you watched those and liked them.
That's another
podcast. We're here for Nintendo, and sadly, ladies and gentlemen, we are once again alone. We're alone. There's only one person here beside me, because all of our guest hosts are once again busy. What is wrong with you guys? Oh, you have personal issues. Then get over them so you can be on this Nintendo podcast. You had one job. Be
a great
on
point.
Call.
It's a great point.
Yeah, that's right. I make great
Why have
points.
Guest
I'm
hosts
the host.
If they're unreliable? You know, it's a shame, but these things happen.
Sure, and they're like, Todd, why aren't I on more? And I'm like, this is why. Because we call on you, and you don't answer. You need to answer the call.
That's not true.
I know, it's not true. It's totally not true. But our co-hosts, sadly, are once again busy. Will is still dead. And someone's going to ask, wait, Will's dead? No, Will's not dead. He's traveling. He's currently in Malaysia, actually.
The coronavirus, I'm going to address the elephant in the room. I think... I'm going to assume that Will is safe and sound from the coronavirus.
He is. But, he gave an update today. He's fine. But he is in the affected area, so he has to be careful.
Yeah, listen, it's deeply contained. Thoughts and prayers to Warrior Will would be, you know, welcomed as always.
Yeah. Just when he comes back, we're going to have to put him in a quarantine zone. Because these viruses, man, they can go right through the computer. Or so I'm told. Or is that a different kind of virus? Whatever. Anyway. We got fun shows for you today, including a whole bunch of news, which makes us very, very happy. But we're going to get started off with, what have you been playing? And I'll start it off, because I know Tyler's been playing a lot, so I want him to have the most time. Because I am a benevolent host, and I want you to talk when I want you to talk. Anyway, so I've been playing Pokemon Shield, obviously. I'm actually getting pretty deep into the game. I believe I have... five badges. I just beat Opal. Crazy old bat. Seriously, that whole pink cutscene is like the funniest thing ever. And like the still shots of her all over Beatty. It's just like, what is going on here? So that's funny. My Eevee has still not evolved. I have given up. I'm just gonna wait for Glaceon. I have tried. I've battled it within my first of my party. I've ridden around. It's got the dang Soothe Bell attached. This Eevee just won't evolve. So, I'm going to wait
That's
for the ice.
That's so strange.
I know! So, I'm going to wait to get the ice stone.
I know why. I know why.
Oh, here we go.
It's the Eevee that you got from the person who said, thanks for playing Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah.
That one doesn't evolve.
What?
It all makes sense now.
Are you serious?
We figured it out.
Evolve.
I am 100% serious. Yes.
Oh my god.
Does not evolve. Yeah.
Are you kidding? Oh my gosh. Everything makes sense now. I'm like, I am pouring everything into this Eevee and it doesn't evolve?
I was like, okay, so here's how I deduced it. I was like,
that's mean.
I know that games are programmed. Like, they're not sentient. Like, this Eevee should evolve just from leveling up, because you get a bunch of, like, friendship points just from leveling up. At, like, level 30,
right.
It should have evolved into something. Like, it's just impossible that it hasn't.
So, where did you find this out?
I just remember reading that when the game first came out.
Oh, that is mean! I'm, like, don't get me wrong, I have another Eevee that I guess I can evolve, but it's just, like, I had this Eevee, and I'm trying so hard!
I'm doubting myself
as a trainer. I'm like, what am I doing wrong for this Eevee to not feel loved?
It's funny because I thought maybe like you would have like go over and check out like a Firestone just to like make sure that like there was nothing
wrong. I'm
gonna
do that right now.
I gotta know. Yeah. No, because I ranted that Eevee was so hard to find and way too hard to find in my opinion.
I actually caught one in the wild, ironically enough.
I I don't know if it's different. I think it is different. I think in Shield, Eevee has a 5% chance, and Pikachu's the rare one. But yeah, so when I was trying to find Ed Eevee doing that, is what led me to realize, because I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna buy Let's Go Eevee to try to get an Eevee in my Pokédex, but
Son
unfortunately
of
didn't
a
come to that.
beep! It really is incompatible. That is mean. They
Yep.
do not tell me that. They just say it's an Eevee. I'm like, awesome. I'm gonna evolve my Eevee. I guess not.
Yeah, because I
I
think it's like the idea is it's the same Eevee,
guess.
and I don't think it can evolve in
That
Let's
is
Go
so
either.
mean.
So,
I mean, I'm not gonna
yeah.
say I've been wasting my time, but. Yeah, I've honestly been wasting my time. I've been trying to evolve this bloody Eevee, and it doesn't evolve. I am like
Yeah.
legit, and we're not joking here. I am not faking my frazzlement. I am legit ticked because I'm like, I was gonna do Glaceon, and now even though I have another Eevee, my current Eevee is at like level 40, whatever. So even if I started raising my other Eevee right now, I would be like way behind. It's frustrating.
You could just give it a ton of max raid candies. That levels them up
Ooh,
like
I
super
could do, and
fast.
I've saved those. That's a good point. So I'm gonna wait. I'm still gonna wait because I want to get Glaceon. So I'll wait, evolve it like right off the bat, and then it'll learn all of its ice moves along the way. So, oh, that is so frustrating. I did not know that about this Eevee. Get it, got it, get it.
In your defense, you really wouldn't know unless you were desperately searching for an Eevee for 6 hours on a Saturday night.
Voice of experience, Tyler.
Yeah, it's because of experience.
You know, the funny thing is, I randomly got one. I just randomly ran into one. I'm like, oh, it's an Eevee. I guess I could use another one.
Yeah, no, I they're more
What?
common in Shield.
Really?
I think their Pikachu's the rare one in Shield, yeah.
I noted. All right. Well, to step away from my now Poké frustration. I'm seriously ticked about that. They don't even say it. They just say, "Oh, you have an Eevee. You had Let's Go Eevee. Go ahead and have this Eevee then." Wait, does that mean that Pikachu can't evolve into Raichu then? I mean, I would assume,
Yeah, that
right?
Pikachu can evolve. Yeah.
Lame. Anyway, aside from that, I have of course been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and I am happy to talk about a very lucky string of summoning I did because earlier in the day slash night. They released the new mythic hero banner, which has Leaf, aka Alphonse, spoiler. And I was like, I had 326 orbs, give or take. And I was like, I knew we had the Choose Your Legends banner, which for the record I keep forgetting to vote on. Sorry. I'll do it during the podcast. But I was like, you know, I got 326 orbs. I don't know when that next banner is coming out. Let's just do it now. So I go and I'm looking for two things. I'm looking for red and I'm looking for colorless. I want red because that's where I get Leaf, and or Lyph, whatever. And I wanted colorless because I want King Kynegus. I do not have my king of the cats. I have the king of the birds. I have both kings of the birds. But which reminds me, we need to get the dragons. We don't have the dragons yet.
Yeah, we
So,
do. Dehensia would be sick.
well, Degensia and Kurthanaga, of course, and
Yeah, and Enna. Don't forget Enna.
And Garth, and
And oh
missing
my
one.
god, the main one who travels with you the whole time.
Yeah, who's he?
Nasir. Nasir. There we go.
Nasir. I knew it started with an N. Anyway, so yeah, we just need to
Yeah.
have a dragon's pack, and of course, my darling queen of the wolves, Nyla, one of the loves of my life, clearly. What can I say? I like strong women. Anyway, hello, ladies. No. So I'm trying to get red or colorless, and then so I'm going through, and of course again this is at 8%, and I'm not getting anything. I get to like 8.5, and I have two reds and a colorless. Go to the red, I get Lyph, and I'm like, sweet, I should stop. And then I look at how many orbs I have left. I have exactly 300 orbs, and I look at it and I see the colorless, and I go, why not? I mean, I'm at 8.5%. Let's just try it. So I summon the colorless. I get Kynegus. Yep, back to back 5-star summons. I'm a boss. You're welcome.
That's
So,
just good fortune.
yeah,
That is.
and then I was like, well, look, I have 296 orbs now. I should go for another red. I hit the red and I get another Lyph.
No way, you got No way.
No, no way, I didn't.
No.
I know when to stop. I know when to stop. When you get two yeah. 5 stars that you've never had before, you stop. You don't tempt
yeah,
me. All right?
Yeah, they get me when, because discount the orbs, obviously, like 5, 4, 4, 4, and then the last one's only 3. So I pretty much, once I get a 5-star, always finish out the ring, because they're deeper. So
yeah.
That's that. But when you're sniping like that, it's you know, it's better to spend 0 than 3 if you don't want any of the other characters.
Yeah. So, but I'm happy because those are the, honestly the two characters I really, really wanted. And so now I have, you know, a new mythic hero. I got the king of the King of Galia. Very happy about it. He was always one of my favorites. He just, the way he carried himself was very, very cool. So I'm very happy. And of course, this just means that when the next banner comes around, I'm going to spend like 200 orbs and not get anybody. So, but I will be prepared. I will be prepared.
Yeah, well, I'm sure because the anniversary is coming up. Usually do a hero fest of some sort with an increased rate. So you'll be well armed for that. I think I have like 110 orbs right now, so I'm not quite as well armed.
Nice.
But tempted me with this Tibarn banner because I don't have Tibarn, and I obviously love Tibarn. Who doesn't? But I've been resisting for a little while now just to save up for the anniversary.
All right, well, honestly, that is what I have been playing, so what have you been playing?
Oh, great. You asked. I have been playing... I guess I'll start with the boringer one first. I played a little bit of Mega Man 11 over the weekend, and I know this is really good reviews. I didn't really like it. I'm going to go back to it and give it another chance, but the Mega Man games are weird because they like came out slightly after the early Mario games, and the early Mario games are just better. They're better made. The platforming is a lot smoother, and Mega Man games are notorious for random deaths of just like, oh, an enemy jumped out of this pit, I couldn't see it, and they were triggered by me inching toward the pit, and then you just get hit and you fall in and you die, and it's annoying and not fun. I saw this game with the main mechanic being you can slow down time and you can charge up your Mega Buster to be even more powerful with like this gear change system. And I assumed it would actually be really easy because the gear change system seemed like it would render any challenge irrelevant, which was fine. But I was wrong. The game's still hard. It's still a Mega Man game, and those unfair deaths are still fairly frequent. My biggest problem with the game is that the power gear seems useless. I do more. So there's, I guess a good instance is on the Block Man level. There is a conveyor belt that's like pushing some guy with a hammer and will hit you if you can't blow the thing up in time. So you have to use your gears, otherwise you won't be able to blow it up. And I tried to use the power gear because it's waiting for the power gear, and I couldn't blow it up despite mashing as fast as I possibly could, which is fairly fast. Meanwhile, when I used the speed gear, it worked. So you're doing more death per second with the speed gear, which kind of seems strange and counterintuitive. So maybe I'm wrong, and maybe like in speed runs, the power gear is better. That's probably true. But for my practical value, I didn't like it as much. And the level design was meh. I started a level where you're in like basically like a balloon field. Like there's no solid ground, and you're just bouncing them down on these balloons. You have to like navigate through these narrow corridors, and it's so frustrating. Sometimes it doesn't line up, and you can only like change how far you jump at two levels. By not holding B, you'll fall down, and by holding B, you'll go up. And it's just like, it's really weird. It's just not fun level to navigate. So I need to get back into it and give it another chance. I really did not like that balloon level, and I don't think I ever will. But yeah, so I started that. But the big thing I've been playing is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. The patch, I believe, 7.0, released late Tuesday night. Late Tuesday, which was very frustrating for me, and I'm sure everybody else who has to wake up to go to work. I just wanted to play Byleth on Tuesday, and instead I had to wait until Wednesday. It was awful. Byleth is so much fun. I am so happy with how Sakurai made this character. He is very, very slow. Not as slow as Robin, but he's really slow. But all of his moves have exceptional range and exceptional power if you hit the sweet spots. Arid Bar, Dimitri's Lance comes in super clutch. It the reach is just obnoxious. You can really get over the ledge and kind of poke people trying to recover. And if you hit the sweet spot, you're going to get kills at like near 40%. He is really, really powerful in that way. Unfortunately, his recovery is bad. It's not invincible at all, so it's a tether. Basically, it reminds me of Yoshi in Smash 64, where you kind of are just falling, but if you hit the ledge, which is very easy to do, it has really good range, but the enemy's opponents can hit you as soon as you start moving towards the ledge, so it's a mixed bag and fairly underwhelming, especially against certain characters who can just stick out a lingering hitbox and just kind of guard the ledge in that way. But yeah, overall, I've played Byleth, I would say, for like 10 hours in the past 2 days. It's been a lot of Smash Bros, just because I enjoy this character so much, and obviously, you know, Fire Emblem, you have to rep. But overall, the update was really, really good. They buffed... Well, the update was solid overall. They buffed a lot. Mostly, actually, some already kind of good ones. For Ultimate, so far, the patch history has been fairly consistent. Like, every patch, they take one facet of the game and they change it. So we have like the low tier patch, like S patch, they buff King K. Rool and Incineroar and all these low tier characters. Before that, it was like a shield patch and they buffed everybody's shields. They buffed everybody's shields again in this one too. But this one's a little bit more all over the place. They really buffed the zoner a lot. Samus got like really big buffs, and I already thought Samus was kind of busted. So that was annoying. But Young Link and Toon Link were improved as well. So if you play characters, you're probably going to have a better time now. They all got considerable buffs combined. That's my rundown on the latest Smash patch. Definitely worth checking out if you have the Fighter Pass. Byleth, so controversial. Based on the number of people I see playing Byleth, I think that the internet bubble may have been lying about how angry people were about this, because every other match you're facing a Byleth at this point, and it was not like that for Banjo and Hero.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still angry that, you know, people reacted that badly to Byleth when it's clear why we got him, her. And now they're playing him, they're like, oh, actually, this is kind of fun, and, you know, hey, that just means you shouldn't judge something before you play it, jerks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I get it. Like, it was a disappointing fifth character. Like, as a huge fan and a huge Smash fan, like, I get it. We had so many cool characters, and then it's like Byleth from Fire Emblem. That's not going to matter for the average person. It doesn't mean he's not a sweet character to play as, though. Yeah. He is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was the notion of, like, what third-party character are we going to get next? Because we hadn't had a first-party DLC character in Ultimate. And, okay, outside of Piranha Plant, technically.
Right.
But
right.
It's like, you know, it was this, oh, it's the Fighter Pass. And, you know, it's Joker. Oh, it's Dragon Quest Hero. Oh, it's Banjo. It's Terry. And Byleth? Really? So.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He broke the mold, and people were like, we like the mold.
By far the worst.
Huh?
I said Terry was just by far the worst.
Oh,
just,
shut up.
Terry was by far the worst. Nobody knows who Terry is. It's just...
I know who Terry
example.
Is. That's why I'm the host. Dang it.
Yeah, because you're a... Yeah, because you and I are a big-time gamers. The average person who's playing Smash Ultimate has never heard of Terry.
Okay, I'll counter that. I was doing my other show, Todd's Tidbits, on Facebook. Follow me. And... we were actually talking about this when Byleth came out, and every single person that was above the age of 25 on my show knew who Terry Bogard was. And one of them was actually schooling me on Terry's long history. So that's
right.
multiple people who knew Terry.
Who's watching Todd's Tidbits, though? Like,
more people than you think.
Yeah, I know. But I didn't mean it like that. I mean gamers.
Yeah,
like, passionate people are watching it. Like... The Smash Ultimate sold in copies, like, I forget the actual number.
We're over 17 million. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. There's a lot of casual fans in there.
And I grant you that. The casual fan won't know Terry, but the ones who play because of, you know, their love of video games and everything else, and the ones who have been around the block a long time, like I have, because I'm so old, you know, they know about Terry, so... Don't rationally. You're becoming the Byleth fan. You're the Byleth haters. You say you're hating Terry because no one knows about Terry. Just like, oh, no one cares about Byleth. We care about Byleth.
I'm not a Terry hater. I'm a hater, but I'm not really a Terry hater. I didn't complain about Terry. I just think it's funny. I think it's funny that people were so angry about Byleth, stoked for Terry, when they obviously didn't know who Terry was. It's just because he's a third-party character, and he has a cool design, and I like the way his are you okay? I like Terry's cool in that way. I like his hat when he throws it off in his celebration. It's great. But it was just the expectation that we were going to get Master Chief or Sora, and I thought we were going to get somebody like wild like that too, but we didn't. And we got a really cool character instead who is from a growing Nintendo franchise. And he has a really great moveset.
He's not just another swords user.
No. It's all about a rebar. He's really, I would say, a lance user first. And then the sword is really good for aerials. And Amir is kind of, it's better than I thought. Amir, the dumb air, is like a ridiculously strong spike. And if you hit somebody's shield and it's like at all, and a pop, and then you get the free Super Amir smash, which kills at like 30. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right. Well, it's honestly been quite an interesting week in the news, including some big news that just hit today. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And as we just alluded to, Byleth has come out to Smash, and if you have the Fighter Pass, you can get him / hurt now. And if you want, you can get Fighter Pass 2 for pre-order, obviously, because we don't know who's in it, though. But yes, the DLC Fighter Pass 2 for Smash Bros. Ultimate is available now to get. Tyler, are you gonna get it? Are you?
Yeah, I'm gonna get it. I didn't one, and Andros Alex had to correct me on this because they did release it with the Mii costume. But I feel like should have announced the fighter before when. Side announcing the or releasing the Fighter Pass 2, just because I don't feel the impetus to buy it right now. You know, I'm gonna get it when they announce the first character. There's no real incentive to get it without knowing what's coming.
Or at the very least, you'll get it like a week before. That way, you know, you're not like spending the money right now because it's gonna be there. It's gonna be there.
Exactly.
It's not like Piranha Plant where it's like a limited time only. It's gonna be there.
Exactly. Do you remember how they named it on the Fighter Pass 1? Because Joker released the day up. Did we have the pass available for download then?
No, Joker wasn't.
Joker wasn't day up
because remember they announced it at the Game Awards and then he released in like April.
No, that's what I'm saying. They announced Fighter Pass.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't day of. I think it was like maybe a month beforehand. You know, just so that way they weren't like overloading the eShop.
We already knew Joker was in it then.
Yeah, well over. I mean, I'm talking like a month before Joker came out.
Okay, gotcha.
I
agree with that too. And I guess it really is a bad question because they wouldn't have released it before Ultimate came out and Joker we knew of the day of. So yeah, that's a weird decision to me. I don't really understand that.
Whatever. I mean, they're just trying to. Now that they know that people are going to get the Fighter Pass and you know that people are excited about it and everything, they're just getting it now so that people can slowly get it over time instead of just you know like bum rushing the eShop when it comes out on potentially the day that the new character comes out because that'll crash it and then everyone's gonna be mad. It's like, oh, I can't play the new character because the eShop's down because everyone's trying to buy the pass and like that's what Nintendo's trying to avoid. So
yeah.
All right, moving on to another really big piece of news, Pokemon Home. Now, we already knew that Pokemon Home was coming out, and it's still coming out in February, which is like 2 days away. How did that happen? Can we just talk about that? How are we already at the end of January?
It really flew by. We're already a 12th of the way done 2020. Yeah. I couldn't remember the year for a second there.
How do you know the year?
I almost said 2012. I knew there was an extra two in there. I just quite placed the rest of the digits.
Oh, Tyler, this is why I'm the host. Anyway, so it's going to be coming out in February, and recently this week we got all, let's just call it more details on Pokemon Home. So if you don't know, this is like the enhanced version of the Pokemon Bank. It's going to be where you can get all your Pokemon together, and yes, all of your Pokemon together, and then transfer them to various games as long as they support them. Glares at Pokemon Sword and Shield. Now here's the details. There's going to be two versions. There's going to be a free version and a premium version. Shocker. The free version, wait for it, lets you store 30 Pokemon. They don't even let you break 100. I mean, 30. Come on. What's the point?
Well, right. I guess you could probably just bring them over like 30 at a time, right?
That's true. I mean, that's a lot of work, though. That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Anyway, but then the premium paid service will cost you $16 a year, which, for the record, is less than the than the Nintendo Switch Online service. So if you combine those two, it's $36 a year, which I'm pretty sure is still well under most services for games. Just saying. Do I take that bet? I take that bet. Like, Game Pass is like, what, $5 a month, $10 a month?
So, I wish I knew. I should know,
whatever.
But I don't know.
Anyway, but the premium service
is very cheap.
It's very cheap. It honestly is. The premium paid service is $16 a year, and it'll hold up to 6,000 Pokemon. So yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. And then if you do get the premium service, you'll actually have a national Dex to help you ensure that you have it all, you catch them all, and collect them all, and store them all. Then you'll have multiple options for trading, including the Global Trade Service and Wonder Trade. And for Wonder Trade, you'll actually have like multiple rooms with 20 people each. And like Tyler has been asking for, you know, you with Global Trade Service, you will be able to ask for a Pokemon in return for another Pokemon, so you can get that exact trade that you're looking for. Let's see.
I hated.
I thought you liked it.
No, that shouldn't be behind a wall. That should be in the game. That's why they did that, and it's ridiculous. That validates people screaming about Game Freak being cheap. That really does. I mean, they had it in Sun and Moon. They had it in X and Y. They took it at the table here.
And then also, there will be mystery gifts, so you can put your Pokemon in a gift and send it to your other games. And then if you still have access to Pokemon Bank, you will be able to transfer all your Pokemon into Home with no issues. And for you breeders like Tyler, you'll even have the ability to check the IVs of your Pokemon that you have so you can see how they match up. And again, no exact release date for the Pokemon Home service, but it will be available both on your Switch and on as a phone app. So that's interesting.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting it. I don't need it. I'm fine with just, you know, catching them all potentially in the game itself and then trading various Pokemon, but I know some people, probably like you, who are, you know, eager to get Pokemon Home so you can get all your hordes of Pokemon together.
Yeah,
and, you know, say they're all here. Everyone is here.
Yeah, they account for variants because if I could get Alolan Ninetales into Sword and Shield, that would be a game changer.
Well, you can't yet, but you never know, I suppose. Because even with Pokemon Home, to be clear, still can't put Pokemon into Sword and Shield that aren't openly available. So
right, but that's the question. Because Ninetales, the same Pokedex entry.
No, it wouldn't be the same Pokedex because it's an Alolan variant. Kind of like how they
in the Alolan Pokedex, Ninetales and Alolan Ninetales they're both whatever number I'm on. Ninetales is. It's not like 191 Alolan Ninetales, 190 Ninetales. Like, they're just 191.
I mean, if you want to try it, but I would bet money that it wouldn't because of the Galarian variants. So.
I would mystical as well, but I will be on the lookout for that.
Tyler is following the Jeff Goldblum of Life Finds a Way.
Trip.
Life Finds a Way. Ninetales Finds a Way, Todd. All right, moving on to a good third-party announcement, Outer Worlds, which is already out on other systems and has been impressing many. It will be coming out to Nintendo Switch on March 6th, so just a little bit longer of a wait. And Tyler, tell them about the unique situation going on with its release.
Yeah, so this is really odd, and I'm sure it's been done before.
It has. I know it has.
Yeah. By creative, I suppose, developers. The team is releasing a physical version of The Outer Worlds. Inside your physical case, there is no cartridge. There's a download code, so you can at least display the case, but there's no actual cartridge. And this has caused a huge uproar on Twitter, of course, as
of course.
Everything does.
Of course.
Lots of people, oh, I'm not going to the game, you know, protest this. Let's speak with our dollars. And I just want to say to those people, I'm going to speak with my dollars and buy this game anyway, because I really want more great third-party games coming to Switch. I would prefer a physical cartridge for sure, but we have to realize that there are reasons. They wouldn't do this for no reason. I'm sure it's a game. I have to check the download size, but I would imagine the cartridge is going to be expensive to actually buy from their side. So I don't know if this makes it easier for them to bring the game to Switch. That's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make. And I might actually be a sucker and buy the case with no in it.
Chelsea? I'm not getting it. I don't have too much of a... But I can see why others are. Apparently it's a really big, a really good course is made by the original people behind Fallout. And then, of course, Fallout New Vegas and everything. So... They know
yeah,
what they're
Fallout
doing.
Fallout New Vegas is just one of my all-time favorite games, so I'm definitely excited for it. I'm going to have to check the performance because I was burned by Mortal Kombat, so I'll have to make sure that it works. But assuming it works, it's a must-buy for me.
All right, so from news that is potentially really, really good to news that is just plain stupid, I tell you, stupid! Let's talk about EA. Oh, yeah. So EA, the jerks that they are, have been putting out rather few games on the Nintendo Switch, if they've been putting them out at all. And they've been saying that, you know, they're like biding their time, they're trying to find the right market, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, they did a recent interview. It was on GameIndustry.biz. And the COO and CFO noted that, you know, there's a certain concern stopping them from bringing more games to the Switch. Here's what they said. Quote, "We are always looking and discussing with Nintendo what else we can put on the platform. And as the platform grows, our interest in adding content grows for that platform. But we're also conscious of the fact that the top-selling titles, by a long shot, are all Nintendo software. Which is fabulous software, but it helps us balance the realities of how big our markets could be there. Hey, EA. You want to know why the best-selling games are Nintendo titles? Because it's a Nintendo platform!"
Well, I'm sure for, like, I mean, definitely, like, Madden is always one of the top-selling, Call of Duty is always a top-selling game of the year. So, I see their point from that perspective.
No, I'm being evil. No. In a certain context, they are right. Because if you think about, like, Call of Duty, think about Madden, if you think about FIFA, you know, they sell... because they're on other platforms. But that's the catch here, is that the difference between them putting it on the Switch and failing and them putting it on the other consoles and doing well is that we gamers aren't stupid. They think we are, but we're not. We know that they put a lot more effort into, like, the Xbox and the PlayStation than they have ever done on Nintendo, short of a few titles, obviously. You know, they'll put the effort into those games because they know that people will buy them because the people are expecting the best quality versions on those. If they actually gave a crap and put a good port on the Switch, it would sell. There's literally no doubt. But they're too, you know, egotistical to do such a thing. And thus they're like, oh, we're not sure it's going to sell. Hey, idiots. There have been multiple million sellers from third-party games on the Switch. We know this for a fact. We're going to be talking about some of them later. Indie titles explode on the Switch. They don't even have to try that hard. Okay, they have to try a little hard, but you know what I mean. The indie game market is really strong on the Switch, which is something you can't say on Sony and Xbox to a certain degree. So if you put in the effort and you're trying to make a good port, unlike what you did with FIFA 18, hey, it might just sell.
I don't totally disagree with you there. I do think that the Switch platform, then, obviously, then the Xbox and the PlayStation and indie games, they're just perfect, given that they're usually shorter, they're less, I guess, less technically driven. So I there's definitely different circumstances there. I wonder, like, EA put Unravel 2 on the Switch. That was a quietly released game that I didn't even realize it was out, and then I saw it on the eShop.
I don't remember that being on there.
Yeah, so it is on there. I almost picked it up, but I think that seems like a two-player game, so I didn't have a two-player person to play it with. But yeah, I don't understand. I think a Madden game, assuming quality, would 100% sell well on Switch. People like to bring that game with them. I could definitely see that panning out. I think back to that initial Switch commercial where they're playing basketball and then they go over and they're playing the Switches. Obviously, that's not a situation that's likely to actually occur.
Yeah.
But I feel that sports games like that do travel well. So I am surprised that we haven't seen a Madden game on there. And listen, this is one of the more positive statements from EA about the Switch. I feel like the narrative previously from them was considerably more negative. So I do expect that they have some plans. It's just a matter of what those plans are.
Problem is that they're saying, oh yeah, we talk with Nintendo all the time. And then they go, but all the best-selling games are Nintendo titles. And that makes us worried. I'm like, then you're not looking at all the numbers. One of the best-selling games of, like, in the entirety of the system is Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I don't have the exact numbers, but I know it's sold over 1 million. I would bet it's really close to 2. And any game that's sold over 1 million is a really big hit. And then there's a game called Octopath Traveler that sold 1.5 million in 3 weeks. And we're going to be talking about two other big third-party titles that came out last year that sold 1 million. If you put the effort into it, we're going to buy the game. And like this, and it, going back to Octopath, this is a perfect example of a company, Square Enix in this case, saying, hey, we can't put a big Final Fantasy title, not Clean Tactics, obviously, or Crystal Chronicles. But, you know, we can't put, you know, Final Fantasy 15 on Switch. They probably could, but that would take a lot of work. So they're like, what can we do to still tap into that market? And they go, hey, what if we make like an old school RPG with, you know, updated graphics to an extent, really awesome battle system, great story, etc., etc. Boom, Octopath Traveler. Boom, it hype. Boom, lots of sales. It's that simple. And as
yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I was like, just to play devil's advocate, I guess Jedi Fallen Order is like hit 10 million in sales.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Now, I don't know what EA. I know EA is obviously a juggernaut, massive company. So I would think that they, and I know that they have like, what's that? I'm trying to remember the name. But they actually have like a smaller department that publishes games. I don't even know if they actually develop the games. But like, I think Unravel was actually one of those that was secondary team. I'm sure they have secondary teams that could do stuff for Switch. But I understand if they're spread thin that they're going to choose to release the Jedi and sell 10 million copies than something just for Switch that would sell optimistically 2 million.
Yeah, but but here's the other thing, and they can also test this, is that, you know, Star Wars is a big name franchise, and especially with this series now, the sequel series now done, they were cashing in on trying to do something big, especially after the backfire of Battlefront 2 in many ways. You know, it's easy for them to cash in on that. But it's also true that if
Jedi Fallen Order.
Jedi Fallen Order, thank you. If that was bad, it wouldn't have sold anything. Or it would have sold significantly less. It would have been like Spore, where it sold a lot, then people actually played the game, and they were like, oh, we don't want to play this anymore. So, and yeah, and like, again, the Octopath team was a brand new team. They put together that team to make old school, you know, RPGs, like they did with Tokyo RPG Factory. And then they said, like, make the best game you can, and they had a small team, and they loved doing it, and they made a great title. And yeah, selling 10 million is more important than selling 1.5 million, but this still shows that there's still 1.5 million people who want those old-school RPGs out there. And if we get Project Octopath Traveler 2, I would bet money that it would sell more because the original one was a hit. You got to take risks, and they're not. They're playing it safe, and while that's okay when you have Madden and FIFA and Star Wars to an extent, it still makes you a dick when you're like saying, oh, we could put stuff on the Switch, but we're not sure it's going to sell enough. Well, if you don't put quality stuff out, you're not going to sell anything. So, and you've proven that time and time again. Andromeda,
no,
anybody?
I agree with you.
Anthem,
I definitely
anybody?
Agree. Overall, I think you're right. I'm sure that there's intricacies that we on the outside to see, and I to a point see where they're coming from, but at the same time I agree that especially a game like Madden, or yeah, I mean that should be on Switch. I was gonna say NBA Live, but nobody wants NBA
don't
Live.
Don't push it. All right, let's move on to slightly more positive things, or at least in this case slightly more curious things, because for the last year or so we've been speculating and postulating and predicting a Nintendo Switch Pro. Better graphics, slightly better battery, you know, better hardware, etc., etc. And every, like, major, quote, major news source was saying that it was going to come out this year. They also said it was going to come out last year, and look how that worked out. But they said, like, oh, no, 2020 is the year. It might have NVIDIA. It might not have NVIDIA. We don't really know. And so the head of Nintendo, like the actual head of Nintendo, President Furukawa, has made a statement saying thus, quote, regarding Nintendo Switch, we believe that it is important to continue to communicate the appeal of both Nintendo Switch systems and expand the installed base. Please note that we have no plans to launch a new Nintendo Switch model during 2020, end quote.
Yeah,
seems pretty
definitive. Yo, it's very definitive, and I think it's a mistake. I think my number one pick in the Nintendo for Nintendo to find success was to release an updated Switch console, and you know, maybe I overstate the importance of that, especially this year when other consoles are launching. What I'm actually going to do here is tie in a different story, more rumor on this one, but there are rumors swirling that Nintendo wants to revive an old IP this holiday season, and that Breath of the Wild 2 has been pushed to 2021. So I do think that they're going to launch the new Switch console with, or updated Switch hardware, Breath of the Wild with Zelda, because they've had such immense success, first with Breath of the Wild on the regular Switch, then the Switch Lite and Link's Awakening. I expect Breath of the Wild 2 will launch alongside whatever hardware update. So maybe it was planned for this year and then they pushed it back. Maybe it never was. But I do think they need to get something out sooner rather than later, even though the numbers have been astronomical. Maybe it's not as urgent as I thought.
We'll see. I mean, I don't need a Switch Pro. I mean, if I was gifted one, or if a certain co-host of mine wants to pay up a bet and buy me one. I'm kidding. You don't owe me.
You hear me? You hear that, Will? You owe Todd a Switch Pro.
He should, after all the crap he's put us through.
Yeah, he abandons us for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Anyway, but I don't need it, but I wouldn't exactly be opposed to it. It's just one of those things, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, do we really need one? Sure. It would be a little bit better, but again, it runs into the whole new Nintendo 3DS territory where it's just like, you know, do we have to get it to play the other games? I hope not, because that was a big mistake of the 3DS during its latter years, but we'll see. But it is good to hear, regardless, that, you know, Nintendo is definitely saying, hey, we're not doing this. At least not this year. Well, which means they can focus on the games, which we would hear about if we had a Nintendo Direct.
It's next week, Todd. I it's going to be next week. We're going to get a Nintendo Direct next week. You heard it here first. It's time.
Uh-huh. We'll see. All right, so moving on to some more surprising bit of news from Nintendo. The mobile initiative, as I like to call it, has grossed in total over $1 billion via player spending. Now, to put this in context, this is across 6 games. Fire Emblem Heroes, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, Dragalia Lost, Mario Kart Tour, Super Mario Run, and Dr. Mario World. Please recall, Pokemon Go is not part of that initiative. That is part of Niantic, not Nintendo proper. Totally different. A lot of people still get that confused. I don't know why. I mean, we've said it enough times. It's not Nintendo makes no money off of this. It makes like the smallest percentage of money. Niantic and Pokemon Company, they make the money off that game. So anyway.
Yeah, it was hilarious how many people thought they were slick for buying Nintendo stock when they saw that Pokemon Go was selling well. And yep. Unfortunately they were in for a real shock.
Yep. Alright, so now here's where the other interesting thing comes in. The order that I just gave you in the games, Fire Emblem, Animal Crossing, Dragalia, Mario Kart, Super Mario Run, and Dr. Mario World, that's the order of most profit to least profit. Okay? So that means that Dragalia Lost, this new IP that Nintendo did for technically another person to make, is doing better than Mario Kart Tour and Super Mario Run, and I'm not surprised by Dr. Mario World. That one honestly didn't. That one wasn't the best in terms of microtransactions. You didn't really need it. I mean, and that was fine. That's why I loved it so much when I played it. But yeah, Dragalia Lost alone has made $123 million from player spending, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. Animal Crossing, Pocket Camp, despite a massive slowdown, has made $131 million, which just goes to show how much people love Animal Crossing. So, again, imagine when New Horizons comes out. And then Mario Kart Tour is $86 million. Super Mario Run, which is, again, the first Nintendo Mobile Initiative game, was $76 million. Dr. Mario World is $4.8 million. Yeah, it's not doing well in terms of player spending. And then Fire Emblem Heroes, the true epitome of what a Nintendo Mobile Initiative game should be like, $656 million with over $300 million coming from Tyler and Will.
That is an incredible number. But I also saw that Fire Emblem Heroes was the least downloaded game.
Yes, it is.
That's even more surprising. Just it's definitely... I mean, Dragalia is the reason that's surprising. Yeah. Like... That game must be really big, and because I mean, Dragalia was a fun game, but I would have definitely expected Fire Emblem Heroes to beat it. Yeah. But it also goes to show how passionate Fire Emblem fans are, because to have the least amount of downloads and to be the biggest or the most profitable by that margin is wild.
Yeah. Now, to clear up what Tyler is saying, we're talking about the overall. If you combine all the games, and I just realized Pokemon Masters isn't on this list. So I'm not sure how to read that. I mean,
it's not Nintendo.
No, Masters.
Yeah, it's we've been through this.
That's not Masters either.
It's Pokemon Company.
Oh yeah, I guess you're right. I honestly thought that one was part of the Mobile Initiative. I was talking about Pokemon Go, not Masters.
So. Yeah, but it's the same. Pokemon Go has, I guess, Google, Niantic. Pokemon Company, I'm sure, makes some money off of Pokemon.
Okay, but anyway. So what we're talking about is if you combine all six games and you talk about their player bases, all the players that have played it, only 4% of the overall number of people playing those games is playing Fire Emblem Heroes. And yet it's crushing everyone else.
Yeah.
It's not even close. And yes.
It's super impressive.
Yeah. And Japan, to answer Tyler's question, has contributed over $500 million of this over $1 billion. The United States is at $300 million spent, and then all the other nations make up the rest. So, yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. To show how huge mobile gaming is in Japan.
Indeed. And how popular Fire Emblem is in Japan, because they clearly... Well, Emblem is, in this case... Sorry, Emblem Heroes is a gacha game, which Japan, like, totally eats up. Like, they love those kinds of games. So, you know, and with them continually adding more heroes and fan favorites and, you know, to choose your legends, which just ended, and everything, you know, people are like, yeah, I'll spend money. That's why you and Will make blood sacrifices every full moon or something like that. I don't know.
I have not made a blood sacrifice in at least 18 months. Okay, 18 months is a stretch, but at least 12 months.
I made one, I instantly regretted it, and I still didn't get what I wanted.
Oh my god, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's your third?
Third what?
Blood sacrifice.
No, I just said I made one. Like, one total.
You made two Oh, no, you made two pre... Look at this revisionist history.
Oh, hey, oh, forgive me, I don't have 2 million...
You did, too!
I don't have $2 million dollars to spend on this game like you and Will do, Tyler. I'm a poor
man.
Listen,
some of us are passionate about...
I am passionate, but I'm not so passionate that I need to spend money to get characters for a gacha game.
Shout out to Will, he... And now, I don't know if this is true or not. Never sent a screenshot, I'm just going to say that. But he is alleged... that he finished his Crimson Flower run.
He did.
So
he confirmed that.
It's alleged. I don't.
It's alleged. We do need hard proof.
A piece of a photo. So
yeah, we should. If he started his second run over his save data, we'll see the Sothis marker, so we can have him take a screenshot of that.
Yes.
So, anyway, but yeah. So Fire Emblem is still dominant, and now of course the question is, will Nintendo ever be able to make a Nintendo mobile game that matches up to Heroes? And I don't know. I mean, they've tried. They really have. But, I mean, the tour is honestly kind of a failure in terms of its gameplay and how it's handled. Animal Crossing was good, but, you know, it's still not a big name, Animal Crossing Tile. Dragalia Lost is the surprise of the century. And then Dr. Mario World was just not built for microtransactions in mind. So, we'll see. We'll see. All right, and moving on to the biggest piece of news from today, like actual today, we have finally gotten the Nintendo quarterly numbers for Q3 2019, which means we know what the Nintendo Switch sales numbers are, we know what the recent bestsellers are for the system, and it is relatively eye-opening, ladies and gentlemen. So, let's start off with the Nintendo Switch itself. We can now confirm via Nintendo that the Switch has sold, as of December 31st, 2019, 52.48 million units.
Hooray.
Go Nintendo! So.
Outselling the SNES at this point.
Yes, we are officially past SNES numbers. Or as I used to call it during Pokemon, the original Pokemon days, the SNAS. I always call it like the SNES or the SNAS or whatever. I didn't understand. I didn't understand that it meant the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. I had the Game Boy before the Super Nintendo because my family was poor, and so I was like, "What's the SNAS?" I don't know.
No, I mispronounce everything. We've all been there before. There are still words now that I'll see, and oh my gosh, I'm still pronouncing that wrong. Here we are, 25
like Mario.
Years later, and I. Well, that one I'm pronouncing right. That one, everyone else is wrong.
Or Melee?
Well, Melee. Melee is the slang for Melee.
Right,
that's,
sure.
Yeah,
is,
Melee
Tyler.
Is the slang for Melee. That's what the cool kids call Melee. They call it Melee.
In the words of Liam Neeson, oh yes, I believe you. Do you see these air quotes I do with my hands? That means I don't believe you. That's right, I just quoted Lego Movie. You're welcome. Anyway, but still, 52.48 million, and we're still in year three, because year three goes up until March 3rd, technically. So, I would bet that it gets like 55 million by that point, and that means that in 3 years, they sell about 18 million Switches a year, which is very impressive.
It is, and Nintendo upped their expectations for the yearly sales, which is always good to see. They're overperforming what they expected, and I wonder how to do with Pokemon, because the sales for that game...
Yeah, which we're about to talk about.
Ooh.
So, but still, this is amazing. Congrats to them. And yes, let's get to the first party news. The top game is still Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is incredible. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has officially sold 23 million, basically, at that 22.96. Let's round up, dang it. It's at 23 million. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is in second now with 17.68 million. Mario Odyssey, which was at one time the top-selling game, is at 16.59 million. Breath of the Wild is slowly catching up with 16.34 million. Pokemon Sword and Shield is at 16.06 million, which remember, that came out in November, which means that in the course of, what, a month and a half? Because it's, what, the 15th, right? That's when it came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. So a literal month and a half, in 6 weeks, it sold 16 million units. I thought Pokemon was dead. I swear I saw that somewhere. Like, oh, this is the beginning of the end.
Well, listen, they got rid of the national decks, and yeah. About 15 people on Twitter were really angry about it. Okay, okay, I know it was more than 15 people. That's the thing. People were angry about it, but people still bought it.
Yeah. In the words of Kylo Ren, okay, Boomer. I love that SNL sketch. That was hilarious.
The first one was better.
Oh, the first one was better.
They brought it back because the first one was it's a modern classic.
Now it is. And it's like the whole, like, you know, it's like 4 years later. It's crazy how Matt Driver looks like so much older now. And
you keep calling
so
him
young.
Matt Driver. You love to call Adam Driver Matt Driver.
Oh, I did it again. I'm sorry. I don't know why I do this.
Do you know Matt Driver? Like, do you know Matt Driver?
I don't. I would know if I knew the last guy with the last name of Driver.
I mean, they're both four-letter
first names. I'd be making so many racing jokes. You know, I was like, call my driver or something like that. Or like, I'd be doing like golf jokes. Say, where's my driver? I need to hit this ball. You know, something like that. No, I do not know a Matt Driver. Adam Driver is. It's just funny to see how those skits go. But yeah. Moving on. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee is at 11.76. Splatoon 2 is at 9.81. Super Mario Party, which is still a surprising hit, 9.12. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe is at 5.85. And Luigi's Mansion 3, we can finally have numbers on this, 5.37 million sold.
The legs on Luigi's Mansion are wild. I remember when it first It came out on Halloween, so it didn't really have a fair shake in October, but I remember reports were that it was not incredible.
Yeah, and then they were saying, like, it's technically, like, the best launch for Luigi's Mansion game, but what does that really mean? We honestly had no numbers on it up until now.
Right, and look at, I mean, that's crazy. That's great. Listen, Luigi's Mansion 2 sold considerably more than Super Mario, which is, I mean, listen, Luigi got the dub. Luigi finally got the better of Mario.
Yeah, I'm very happy for this. It was a really fun game. And now that I would definitively confirm that Luigi's Mansion 4 is coming, which they need to listen to our ideas on the podcast that we made like a month or so back, and either do the amusement park or the cruise ship. So, which I know is like, oh, but that's not a mansion. Like, I care. Shut up, Boomer.
No, I agree. That would be cool. If they did either of them, it would be really cool. I think the cruise ship is, I guess, more off the board than the theme park. But the theme park would be so great. I mean, I picture almost like a Batman Arkham game sort of deal with the theme park. As different elements open up as you collect more things. And that could really be fun to backtrack as well.
What if the bad guy was like the Nintendo version of Batman? Like Bat Ghost? King Bat? Oh wait, yeah, King Buat. You know?
Spoiler alert, it's King Boo in a costume.
Exactly. Wow. Oh gosh. But you know, congrats to Luigi's Mansion for doing so well, and congrats to all these games for continuing to do well. You know, putting quality into titles and getting good results in such a concept. Oh, sorry, still thinking about EA. Moving on. So, but yes, between the Switch sales and the first party sales. Oh, we forgot one. I forgot to mention one. Ring Fit Adventure. Over 2 million
in
sales.
Yeah, Ring Fit Adventure was on there.
2.17 million.
That's
wow.
Crazy. I mean, listen, Fire Emblem Three Houses sold, what,
2.58?
Ring Fit Adventure almost sold as many copies as Fire Emblem Three Houses. That's crazy.
Well, it just goes to show that a lot of people want to get fit rather than go to school.
that's a great point. That is a great point. Yeah, but it just shows how diverse the Switch market is as well. And it also shows how niche strategy RPGs are, because Fire Emblem Three Houses sales were huge news for a while, and your Ring Fit Adventure almost beat it out. Might end up passing it. I bet you it will pass it, actually.
Don't say it's my Ring Fit Adventure. I don't have the game. I don't have it. Anyway, I mean, I want to, because it might be the only way to get in shape again, but, you know, it happens.
It looks like it's actually fun, too. I mean, that game got really awesome.
I hear like the exercises reviews are like really challenging. It's a lot like Wii Sports and Wii Fit, where like they honestly do push you to lose weight, so that's cool.
Yeah.
So, and then finally, what arguably is my favorite news story of the day, in the report that Nintendo gave about their sales, we can now confirm that Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 and Astral Chain both sold over a million units. Finally. Took them a while.
That's really good for both of those. Astral Chain, particularly, I was surprised by.
Yeah, they are at a 1.03 and 1.02 million, respectfully, which probably means that the Christmas season really pushed them over the top, which is fine. It doesn't matter how they get to a million, that just that they get there. Because that's the definitive marker of, you know, you sold well. You know, when it's an indie game, if you sell like 100,000 units, that's cool. If you sell over 500,000 units like Hollow Knight did that one time on Switch, you know, that's really impressive. But when you sell a million of any game, especially like a lesser title or a new IP, that's a success. You know, unless it's like Anthem where you spent like $20 million and like 10 years trying to make it and it's just like, yeah, this didn't work out like I wanted it to.
Yeah, yeah. That stupid game was doomed from the start.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, but I'm excited about this for two reasons. One, it just goes to show that competent third parties that, you know, if you make good games on the Switch, they will sell, you know? And two, this leads to more collaboration opportunities in my mind for both Marvel and Platinum, because Platinum obviously is having Bayonetta, and I would be shocked if Bayonetta not only got to a million, but maybe over 2 million, because this might just be the game that really helps her break into the big time, as it were, which would be hilarious, because it's likely her last game. And then for Platinum, who we acknowledged last week, they apparently knew about the sales ahead of time, because they said, oh, it exceeded expectations, and we're like, well, what does that mean? Well, now we know, it's over a million, so congrats. But Platinum loves working with Nintendo, and if this shows them, hey, we can sell a million with this one, and then if Bayonetta does the same, then I can totally see them making even more third-party exclusives for the Switch. And then for Marvel, I would say this leads to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 4, wherever that may lead. And then maybe we could get another new Nintendo exclusive for the Switch. You never know. I'm not saying it will be like Spider-Man PS4 quality. Not saying that, but they can try.
Yeah, if they created a game that was close to Spider-Man on Switch, that would be awesome. But I am not holding my breath for that. But I do agree. I think Marvel is very possible. And it really, what the thing that stands out to me the most is just how much good hardware leads to great software sales. Especially like you think of Bayonetta 2 and how well that sold on Wii U, which for Wii U it was decent, but I mean, Astral Chain is so much more successful, and Bayonetta is obviously a bigger franchise. It does make me wonder how big Bayonetta 3 will be. I would think it will beat Astral Chain fairly handily.
I would hope. I mean, what would that say actually if Astral Chain, this new IP, sells more than the game that, you know, it's been nominated for Game of the Year and has such a cult following behind it? That would be something, wouldn't it?
It would say that Bayonetta ruining Smash 4 also ruined Bayonetta as a
Tyler, you gotta let it go.
I really hated Bayonetta in Smash 4. She did ruin that game.
Whatever you say, Boomer.
He was way too busted. Hey, you're older than me.
Yeah, you can't prove that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm sure I could.
I'm 30. You're 26?
I will be 26 in a few days.
There you go. See? Anything I don't pay attention. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but congrats to Platinum.
I'm about to enter my Chase Utley year.
Congrats to Platinum. Congrats to Marvel. Congrats to Nintendo for all its big sales. And now give us a day, Nintendo Direct, so we can go and buy the next million games. Alright? I mean, we all know it's going to be Animal Crossing, more than likely, but what about after that? We need to know! I'm just saying. Alright, so...
Whenever you say, I'm just saying. I'm sorry, what? I have to make this comment. It makes me smile so much, because it makes me think of because it makes me think of O.J. Simpson's Twitter account.
Please don't. Do not compare me to O.J. I'm better than O.J.
No, he always signs on and he says, "Hey, Twitter world, yours truly." And then when he signs off, he says, "I'm just saying, take care." And it makes me laugh every time.
Don't compare me to O.J. I'm so much better than O.J. It's not even close.
Listen, anyway. O.J. is a better running back than...
I'm not going to argue that. You know, his stats freaking... So we're not doing an O.J. talk on the podcast. We're not talking about O.J. on NEP. Moving on. So
I think it's relevant.
Shut up. For our main event, we're going to be talking about something that is a little tricky to talk about because of its undeniable success. Mainly, a new rumor is sprouting up that the Nintendo Switch is going to be getting a series of new Wii U ports led by Super Mario World 3D. Wait. Yeah?
Close.
Right?
Super Mario 3D World.
Right, 3D World, sorry. And it didn't sound right. A new Super Mario 3D World, let's just call it DX. And that's one of many games that are apparently coming to the Switch via the Wii U. Kind of talked about this before a little bit, but is the Nintendo Switch kind of relying too much on Wii U ports to supplement the lineup? We're going to break this down in a Nintendo discussion. Alright, so the reason we say that this is a kind of a tricky topic is that while it is a little frustrating that we're getting so many Wii U ports, and the reason we're getting the Wii U ports is because obviously they didn't have the true sales opportunity that they did on the Wii U because of the terrible marketing of the console. There's no denying that when done right, they sell quite a bit. As we noted, Super Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I was going to get it eventually, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is the best-selling game on the Wii with 23 million units sold.
On the Wii, agreed.
Yeah. Dang it. Switch. I'm so flustered now. See, you did the OJ thing, and now I'm gone. I'm just gone.
I'm just...
Yeah.
Take care.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Moving on. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on Switch has sold 23 million units. Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe on Switch has sold over 5 million units. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze on Switch sold over a million units. I'm not going to say that Shin Megami Tensei FE Encore whatever thing. Oh, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, that was it. Tokyo Mirage Sessions. It's a Fire Emblem Shin Megami Tensei crossover. You know what I meant.
I didn't know what you meant.
I'm not gonna say that.
And I can't blame you. That name is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's so Japanese. So Japanese. But I'm not gonna say that Tokyo Mirage Sessions is gonna have hit a million. But you never know. And if it did, it would totally sell better than it did on the Wii U. And I'm pretty sure that Pokken Tournament DX did better on Switch than it did on Wii U. Bayonetta sold better on Switch than it did on Wii U. And on and on and on it goes. So it's not the question of, is this a good idea? Because they've proven definitively and repeatedly that the right ports will sell. And if this Mario game does come over, what were the other titles that you saw, Tyler?
So there's rumors about, it was Emily Rogers' tweet specifically said, there will be no reason to have your Wii U this year. Which to me means Pikmin 3 is likely, which to me means The Wonderful 101 is Maybe. Likely. Obviously, 3D World is the biggest one.
And then, of course, Metroid Prime Trilogy.
Metroid Prime Trilogy, I believe, I think it was Emily Rogers this week, but it may have been Savvy, another Twitter account that's a reliable industry insider. I think it was him who said that Metroid Prime Trilogy is done. They're just sitting. I'm sure they want to release it a little bit closer to Prime 4's release.
Which is smart.
It is. No, I agree.
So anyway, let's just take those in as like the sample. So Mario, Pikmin, Wonderful 101. Which honestly, if you remember a long time ago, Platinum did that art of Wonderful 101 holding the Switch controllers. So
yep.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, but it still happened. So the question isn't, is this a good idea? because the sales speak for themselves. The question is, should they keep doing this? And for me, it's really a question of, you know, do you really think you're going to get more sales from it? And some of these obviously have sold better than others and all that, and that's fine. But do we really need Pikmin 3 on the Switch? I don't know. Would Wonderful 101 really do better on the Switch? I don't know. And is this worth dedicating time to when you could be making, you know, Wonderful 102? Or,
right, that's, you know, the big kicker. Pikmin 4,
which has been rumored forever, but has never been definitively shown. Or the next Donkey Kong game, which is what we thought Retro Studios was working on, but they've been silent for 6 years with nothing to show for it, except the announcement that they're going back to Metroid. Okay. So, it's just a weird thing where it's like, you could do it. Like, I would love to see Xenoblade Chronicles X Definitive Edition. I totally replay that game again because I loved it so much, except for the ending. But, you know, do I need it? No. Would I rather it be Xenoblade Chronicles 3, a sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which is Tyler's favorite game of all time?
Yes, no, I hate that game.
No, you don't. You just think you do.
Fun fact, I hate that game.
Okay, Boomer. Anyway.
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles X, though, that's another great point of a game that in that you won't need your Wii U anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's complicated because Mario Kart, Donkey Kong, Mario Deluxe U, you know, some of these other ones, they've sold millions and millions, and it's great, and I'm glad that these games that honestly didn't do that well on Switch or Wii U is doing fantastically on Switch. That's not the issue. The issue is, should they be focusing so much on getting these ports over to the Switch to just try and potentially appeal to new gamers versus making new titles, better titles, not like better in terms of quality, but like, you know, better in terms of newness, you know, something really shock the players versus
more exciting titles.
Yeah, more exciting titles versus, you know, hey, if you remember how much fun you had with Mario 3D World, but here it is on Switch. Go buy 2 million copies. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, and on one hand, this is great as a Wii U owner because it's validation. It's something that we always knew, that the Wii U had some dope games that just went under the radar due to the console itself being kind of trash. But on the other hand, I personally am kind of tired of the ports. I've bought most of the ports, to be honest. I'm trying to think. I haven't bought Bayonetta yet, but I pretty much have. Whenever they release one, I end up buying it because I do love those games so much. At this point, we're going to be going into the Switch's fourth year. What I can't do basic math, but yeah, I guess it'll be the fourth year starting. And I don't know. Those games are dated by now. Pikmin 3 does not move the meter for me at all. Neither does Wonderful 101. Neither does Xenoblade Chronicles X. The one that most for me is 3D World, because I absolutely love that game, and I would be happy to see them release that game again. But at the same time, even that, it's just it's time, I think, to start pouring those resources. It's past time to start pouring resources into sequels or to new titles. I would rather see passion projects, honestly. And I'm sure it's so much easier to just port a game over than actually really, you know, put in that legwork, I guess, to develop a game from scratch. I do wonder what the porting process is like and how simple it is. And by now, perhaps they might even just have a presto changeo button that they just push. And then, you know, a few days later, out comes the Switch port. But yeah, I think that at this point it's a little bit too much.
Yeah, and especially with a year like this, the last thing we need is just a large amount of ports filling in what could be brand new Switch titles or returning IPs or new IPs. Again, we've already had one port with Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Sharp Encore, or Encore Sharp, whatever, and then we have Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition later on, which that one's fine, because that's honestly a Wii game that not a lot of people get to play. I'll accept that port. But
yeah, I agree.
You know, but if, like, say, November is Super Mario 3D World Deluxe or whatever, you know, okay, that's fine, but that's not exactly a big name title. And then Pikmin 3, yeah, I've never played a Pikmin game outside of a demo, so you know that doesn't trip my trigger at all. You know, Metroid, I might do Metroid Prime, because I honestly can say I've never beaten the Metroid Prime trilogy, not a single one.
Yes, I would go Metroid Prime trilogy when they release that. That will be a purchase for me.
Yeah, but it's just like, and technically that was a Wii game port, but still, it's the same thing, basically. And it's just, you know, we're already worried about 2020 as a whole, because we don't know a lot of major first-party announcements outside of Animal Crossing and Xenoblade, which is fine for now, but if Tyler's prediction of a Nintendo Direct next week doesn't come true, and we're still waiting for announcements, we're seriously going to be stressing. And if they come out with the Direct and say, hey, remember all these great Wii U games? We're bringing them back this year. That just shows that they have, like, nothing
right
for us this year, and that would be horrifying. You know,
I kind of expect that. Like, I'm sure there will be great games that come out this year that are all new, and I'm sure that will happen. It feels like it's kind of looking headed that way, that we're going to be getting a lot of Wii U ports, and it really is just kind of go out the calendar with these games. Let's create the illusion that we're just pouring out games. And if the end result of that is that in 2021 we have a bonkers year again, and it's kind of like the every other year we have a ridiculously great year and then a not so great year, but still okay, that would be funny. But if it's just, hey, let's just put this out here, cash out, and then, you know, kind of rest on our laurels for a while, that would be disappointing to me.
I don't know a laurel, so I don't know how to rest on them. I don't know.
Boo.
Oh, come on. That was good. Come on.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
All right. So we'll see where it goes, but hopefully Nintendo has something for us beyond just the ports, because if they want, 2019 was their best year in terms of sales. They've admitted that themselves, and if they want to continue going with 2020, they can't just have ports. They need definitive titles
to sell
the systems, to sell the games, and to continue, you know, building up their fan base. So we'll see. Shall see. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler, why don't we have a poll question?
No, we did not have a poll question last week.
Why don't we have a poll question?
Because there was no good polls.
Oh, fine. But this one
we
do.
There was no good questions.
This one we do. Would you?
Do we?
Yes. Let me talk and I'll tell you. The question is, would you, as in you, the listener, want more Wii U ports if they're of the best games from the system? Yes or no? Can you do that, Tyler?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. We'll see about that. I told you that last time. It took you like a day or and a half to get the poll question.
I was trying to figure out how to phrase it, and then I think I'd like, because I'm like a squirrel, I saw something move out of the corner of my eye and got distracted.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot about it until your message, which was like 3 days later, because, you know, who checks the chat these days? It would probably be easier if you just texted me, but...
Whatever. Anyway, so yes, would you, the listener, want more Wii U ports on Switch if they were of the best games from the system? Let us know, and I'm definitely looking forward to this. And, of course, let us know what you think about Byleth in Smash, if you played him or her. Are you going to get the Pokemon... are you going to get Pokemon Home? Are you sad that Nintendo Switch Pro is definitively not coming out in 2020? What do you think of the quarterly numbers for the Switch, and how many of the million sellers have you bought yourself? I'm at... how much am I at? Okay, there's 5 right there. Right there. It's 8. 5 over there. That's 13. I think there's number 4 over there. That would be 17? Give or take? Wow, I felt like I had more games than that.
Yeah, that's pretty decent, though.
I'm missing a couple big ones.
I'm missing Pokemon Let's Go, and Mario Party for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have Mario Party. That's probably why. I don't have every game, but I think I have the definitive collection. We'll see. Anyway, so let us know that, and then we'll just see you next week, hopefully with a guest host. Or is Will back next week? Who knows?
Will not be back next week.
Okay, it's 2 weeks from now, right? So yeah, if we do get that elusive Nintendo Direct, we will not have Will here to join us. Oh well. And so we'll see who we have here next week. So for Tellius Tyler, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level. So raise the flag.